Channel Radio.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on Channel Radio in association with Biz Radio. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and not the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin, because she's done a runner. She's gone on holiday and left me in the lurch again. I did have an alternative co-host, Big D, but unfortunately Big D was taken unwell this morning. So hope you get better soon, Darren, and we're missing you. So it's just me, but luckily I have two fabulous guests in the studio. I have Ruth and Ollie, and I will introduce them formally later on in the show. But for the moment, we've got Ruth and Ollie. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hello. It's lovely to see you. Thank you for being here. And do join in at any point, otherwise I'm going to feel lonely. I want to say a huge thank you to this week's show sponsor. And the sponsor of the Business Bunker radio show this week is Potter's Home Digital. They're television, audio systems and home cinema experts. But not only that, they're home entertainment inside and out. And I saw this demonstrated. You'd love it, Ollie. You'd love this, right? They do garden-based information systems too. As well as cinema rooms and multimedia rooms, they do garden systems, right? Their team of experts install fully integrated smart technology into your garden, right? Bringing all your much-loved home entertainment systems from the inside to the out. They offer unique audio and lighting solutions, home security and Wi-Fi networks perfectly suited to your garden with meticulous implementation to create an atmosphere and experience like no other. And in their demonstration garden, they had a 72-inch TV that stays outside permanently. It's weatherproof and absolutely unbelievable. If you want to find out more, and you do, trust me, www.home-digital.com is their website, and I am saving up for one of those big time.
They should target people that don't get Glastonbury tickets.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, a home entertainment system probably cheaper than Glastonbury as well.
Definitely.
Yeah.
You even have to camp and use somebody else's toilet. So.
Did you go?
I have been, yeah. I love it. Yeah. Love it. Yeah. But, toilets
have
not
you been?
Good.
Yeah, been a couple of times.
Yeah. I have never been to Glastonbury. My youngest son and his mum went with about 400 of their mates this time, which was good.
Oh, I bet they didn't climb over the wall, though, did they?
Probably not, no. They probably didn't. Yeah, there is a lot of that as well, though, isn't there? I did see, I have to say, I don't do political stuff normally, but it did make me laugh. There was a banner there that said no borders, and it was on the fence. Just again. I think there are borders.
Quite, yeah. Pay up or get out.
Yeah, exactly. Listen, all you listeners out there, because I don't have a co-host, I'm relying on you. You've got a tweet even more than you normally do. So do send me a tweet. My Twitter handle's VanillaWeb, but please use the hashtag BBunker. That's hashtag BBunker. We have had quite a few tweets already, and I shall read some of them in a moment. But do feel free to ask for a shout-out or to join in or to ask questions or whatever you want to do. We'd love to hear from you. And I've had a tweet from the lovely Steph, Michael Park Surveyors. She says, jumping in here early, Paul, would love a hearty Business Bunker shout out to your incredible listeners. Have a wonderful show. We will listen if we can. And I'm currently in South Africa, where we're experiencing 7-hour-a-day load shedding, otherwise known as blackouts. Well, I hope you are listening, Steph, and you can always catch up on the replay, obviously. But stay safe, and I hope they sort the problems out soon. But it's something that we're all suffering now, isn't it? Energy issues. What else we got? iTrust Assurance. For those of you that don't know, iTrust Assurance are whistleblower consultants, and they have a fantastic whistleblower app called Speak Up. And they say, I'm really looking forward to the Cinecore Charity Golf Day on Friday. Hashtag whistleblower, hashtag speak up. And I don't have any more details about it. So if you want to find out about this charity golf event on Friday, I suggest you give iTrust Assurance a follow on the Twitter. And their Twitter handle is iTrust Assure. All one word, iTrust Assure. Give them a follow. Find out what they're up to. Martin Reeves has said, a good lineup of guests on the Bunker Show today. It's going to be a good day. You're perfectly right about that, Martin. Oh, Jules is on. I thought you were on holiday. Why are you tweeting me? I'm not going to read that. I'm not going to read that. It'll be involving what she's eating and what she's drinking. Do you know she had cava for breakfast?
Good girl.
Yeah.
But why not champagne? Obviously in Spain.
Yeah. No, she don't drink. She drinks cava in Spain and Prosecco somewhere else. Or I don't know. I'm teetotal. I don't know about these things. But,
yeah, Prosecco's yeah. not good. Sorry. Prosecco lovers.
Sarah Marsh Collins has been on as well. Would love a shout out, please, Paul. We'll be listening to you all the way and waving from gorgeous sunny Devon. That's her and Jade Window Clean there together. And Sarah runs My Babel Monkey. Do check them out. And thank you, Sarah. I hope the weather's nice down there in Devon for you. They've just moved to Devon from Kent, as you do sometimes.
Beautiful.
Yeah. Jules wants a shout out. Paul, please can you give a Business Bunker shout out, huge shout out, not a small one, a huge shout out to Mark Stein Online. Mark Stein's a presenter on GB News, and Jules spends most of her life on his TV program. She says, a huge shout out to Mark Stein Online and his team. He actually cares and wants to make a difference. Refreshing. Watch at 8 p.m. on Wednesday. And sorry, I can't co-host the show. Yeah, whatever. She's always on holiday, that woman. Let's see what else we got. Paragon Drones. Paul, really looking forward to hearing about the challenges and rewards involved in bespoke education and growing business profiles online. A mention will be great. Thank you. Have a great show. Looking forward to the cheesy tunes. That's Paragon Drones, and you can follow them on Twitter at, surprisingly, Paragon Drones. I did have a tweet, and I've got to find it because it came in last night, and you'll understand why when I find it and read it to you. Bear with me one second. Talk amongst yourselves. That's the thing to do. Here we go. It's from Athel Bray, a training company, and they say Vanilla Web. Vanilla Web's me. I don't know why I'm called Vanilla Web. It's just one of those weird things. When I first joined Twitter about 110 years ago or something, I was toying with the idea of having a web company called Vanilla Internet, and I think I set up Vanilla Web then and never went ahead with the company, but ended up with the name.
There's still time. It's good. Sounds tempting anyway.
A bit ice creamy, isn't it? Yeah. Athelbrow Safe, another web business bunker. We're a bit early with the request, but we're currently 9 hours behind the UK, so don't want to miss you. Can we have a shout out for our operations director, Fran, who's been working round the clock, keeping things running smoothly while we spend her inheritance on holiday in Alaska? So I've seen some fantastic. Do follow their Twitter handle, Athelbrae, A-T-H-E-L-B-R-A-E L-T-D is their Twitter handle, Athelbrae Limited, Athelbrae Management Training Company, based in Paddock Wood. They're currently on holiday in Alaska, and they've put up some fantastic photographs of their journeys there, of polar bears and wilderness walks and all kinds of stuff. So give them a follow on the Twitter and have a look at some of their holiday pics, as you would. Right, I've also got some press releases here. The lovely Natalie Bonaik, Mademoiselle Bonaik, sent me this. They're starting an online directory for arts and culture in Kent. We have been developing Culture in Kent as a space to bring together creatives and culture lovers in Kent. Creatives can show and explain what they do, and culture lovers can find art, music and other cultural events taking place in the county. Culture in Kent was created to fill a hole in the cultural life of Kent. The Garden of England is a diverse county. Yeah, it's not so much garden anymore, is it? It's mostly houses. Thriving commuter towns like Tunbridge Wells and Sevenoaks to the west, historical cities such as Canterbury to the east, pretty villages dotted throughout, and all surrounded by trendy and quirky seaside towns, along with its 350 miles of coastline. With this diversity comes a thriving arts and cultural scene with a host of exhibitions, shows and performances to be found, but finding them's not so easy. Aside from the large venues with marketing budgets to match, smaller shows and exhibitions are difficult to track down, with information spread across a host of websites, directories and newsletters. Culture in Kent aims to become the single place to find out what it's worth seeing in the county. So if you work in the arts and culture world of Kent, the first step in increasing your exposure is to head over to Culture in Kent and register for free. So the website is cultureinkent.org/register to register your interest. I like it. It's another hit from Natalie. Natalie also does Faversham 365. I don't know if you've ever come across that.
Yeah,
it's a photograph a day taken in Faversham of a life of a town. I think she does a couple of other towns, but Faversham was the first and the most well known.
I've heard of that. That's great. I come from Faversham. Mm-hmm. I'm a Faversham based person myself.
So are you? You live in Faversham?
Yeah, and I've heard of that.
Yeah.
I haven't seen her pictures, but I'll take a look.
Yeah, they tend to. Obviously, the last 2 years they haven't done it because you weren't allowed out.
Photographs of people's houses.
Yeah. But what they do is they take a photograph a day, and then at the end of the year, normally in a shop or something in the high street, or the centre there, in the middle of the high street, Alexander Centre.
That's right, Alexander Centre.
The Alexander Centre, either there or one of the shops that let them use it, and they do a photographic display and have nibbles and all that stuff. All really good stuff.
It's great place to live.
Yeah. It's lovely. And Faversham's a lovely town, isn't it? Very, very, very Kentish kind of town, I think, really.
It is. If they stop building anyway, hopefully they won't completely ruin it. But the centre of Faversham is stunning and beautiful. So much history. I love it.
Mm.
Good cider as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's the home. Hops. Yeah. It's the home of Shepherd Neame as well, isn't it? One of the oldest breweries in the country.
Yeah.
The Kent Foundation team. I don't know if you know about Kent Foundation. Kent Foundation is an organisation. I don't know. I might get this wrong. Sorry, Stuart, if I get this wrong. It was originally funded by Kent County Council, but I think they're self-funded now. And they're an organisation that help young entrepreneurs start their businesses and mentor young entrepreneurs. And they're very pleased to invite you and me and everyone else to the Kent Business Fest 2022. After last year's success, our annual event, Kent Biz Fest, is back. Come along to hear from the businesses we support, network with the Kent businesses community, and learn how we support the next generation of young entrepreneurs in Kent, plus so much more. It's taking place on the 6th of July, which is tomorrow, isn't it? Manana. Yeah, Wednesday, the 6th of July. The doors open at 5 p.m. and it's here in Ashford. It's at Coachworks, which is a hot desking space in Ashford, right opposite the International Station. Coachworks, Dover Place, Ashford, tomorrow night, 6th of July, 5 p.m. If you want to book your ticket, eventbrite.co.uk/KentBizFest2022. Get along there. It'll be fun. So good luck with that, Stuart. Stuart Taunton is the CEO of Kent Foundation. Do check it out. They're a fantastic organisation and they've helped so many businesses get started. Really brilliant. Right, it's that time. It is that time. I apologise in advance, Ruth. This is my cheesy tunage. Now then, I could have done something really horrible, like I could have picked another brick in the wall.
I like that song. You can't beat some Pink Floyd.
Exactly. But it's not really where you want to be with what you do, is it?
Well, we're quite the antithesis of that. So I would argue we're a new direction.
Yeah.
I'm happy with Pink Floyd though. Whatever you want.
Okay. Well, I didn't pick Pink Floyd. I picked something. I can't speak. I picked Becca Picka Pecker. I picked something worse. Is that possible? Alice Cooper, isn't it? School's out.
Love it. Absolutely love it. We're all waiting for that day. Can't find a flag. If that don't suit ya, that's a drag.
Callis Independent Financial Advisors can help you invest, organise your pensions, and even get you the best possible life insurance, mortgage, or equity release deal. Check out talisifa.com. Grow your business with Kent's Best Business Events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Become part of our community to build your social media habits with workouts. Increase your brand's presence and engagement. Go to wedosocialmedia.co.uk to register for 2 free social media workouts every Wednesday. 10:30 a.m. Facebook and 11:30 a.m. LinkedIn.
Loch Associates Group. Let us look after all your people needs so you can focus on growing your business. No long-term tie-ins, just responsive, commercially minded support. Find us at lochassociates.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
This is Channel 2.
Welcome back. That was Alice Cooper. School's out. Sorry about that. But there you go, Ruth. That was just for you. Thank you. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome onto the show for the very first time Ruth Minhall. I hope I pronounced that right. I did meant to check it with you beforehand.
That's
but,
perfect.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, listen. Last week, I was back in the saddle. I compared the Ashford and Canterbury Business Awards, and I haven't done that for a couple of years. I normally compare them, but we had the lockdown, so they didn't happen. And then last year, I contracted COVID on the day of the event, so I didn't do it last year. So I was back doing it this year, right? So I was compare, but this lady spent more time on the stage than I did, and I was on the stage permanently because, Ruth, you won quite a few awards, really, didn't you?
We did. Yeah, we were so over the world. We're delighted. The team has worked so hard, and it was great to get the award for innovation. And then we won the Canterbury Award, the Business Award, which was just the icing on the cake and quite unexpected. So we were thrilled to have the opportunity to stand amongst other fellow business successes and to win. I mean, who can, you know, what more than that? That was wonderful.
It's a fantastic achievement and thoroughly well deserved. And we're going to find out about your business in a moment and why you won all these awards because of how brilliant you are. Okay. But I just want to focus on the awards a little bit first. But have you put yourself forward for awards before?
This is a new journey for us. To be quite honest with you, Paul, I spend most of my week, 7 days of it, working and reacting, getting stuff done, and just cracking on with what needs to be done on a day-to-day basis.
Sure.
In the last year, we've tactically looked at our strategic priorities. We've looked at how we want to move forwards, not just with you know, our aspirational future in terms of where we want to go, but in terms of how we're positioning ourselves to everybody out there and making sure that the good work that my team completes and what they represent for all of us and the work that they do to change lives with our young people that we engage with is really at the forefront of our presentation. And I think, one of the best ways of doing that is through awards. I'm really lucky to have a great marketing manager, Ellie Turner. She's probably listening now. So hello, Ellie.
Hi, Ellie.
But she's been great. She's been leading the process to get involved with awards. And I think it's an important step, not just to position our organisation and to shout out about what we do, but also to build aspiration within my team, because I'm extremely lucky to have a very dynamic, very, very committed team of people who have enabled me to be successful and to spearhead this business.
Yeah, absolutely. I would say this because I compare loads of awards. I do most of them around Kent for some bizarre reason, which is why I never win awards because I'm never allowed to go in for them. Oh. But there you go. But as a business proposition, as a marketing proposition, as an awareness proposition, awards are really important. They really, really are important. You know, if you get recognition, especially if you get recognition from your customers or your peers or whatever, it's a fantastic test testament to what you do. Because it's not easy to win these awards, you know. I've judged many of these awards, and it is, you know, I know it's a perennial thing that judges go, oh, you know, we had so many good businesses. But it's true. It really is true. It's really hard to discern differences in businesses. So it's a fantastic thing. It's a fantastic marketing thing. And you guys were a little bit excited, weren't you?
We were.
You were very excited on the night, which is lovely. And it really was nice because it was a big event, wasn't it? There was over 200 people there.
Yeah,
and,
it was fabulous. Yeah. It was great to see so many people, and you could tell that the nerves were fizzing in the audience. People were really keen to do well, and you know, as I say, we were just delighted. I was over the moon. I think it's lovely when you receive that recognition, having worked so hard. And you know, I suppose you know my team and I know just how much commitment it takes to build something. I mean, we're going to be 9 years old in September.
Wow. Okay.
It's come such a long way in such a space of time. It's moved very
well. I'll tell you what. Let's talk about that, because it's fun talking about the awards, because I love the enthusiasm and you had
jump
to be there.
Down on the stage.
Yeah, they were whooping and giving, and which is lovely, and yeah. I really love that. And it's great. And as I said, it's thoroughly deserved. But I guess people are sitting there going, yeah, but what do they do? So why don't you kick off by telling us what you actually do, and then we'll reverse that and find out when you started it and why you started it, and then all the rest of it. So kick off by telling us what Tutition Extra do.
Okay, so we are a Kent-based education service, I suppose. We provide tutoring and bespoke education for children and young people around the county. We work with 4 to 25 year olds, and predominantly neurodivergent young people, or those with special educational needs, or youngsters who have social, emotional or mental health challenges. In essence, we deal with probably some of the most complex and vulnerable young people in the county, and those who have often had multiple failed experiences in education. And we really try to go back in order to move forwards by removing barriers to learning. We see the value in each young person, and we try to shape education in a way that is relevant to them. We try to harness interests and to, as I say, remove barriers, whatever they may be, whether it's systemic family issues, adverse childhood experience, perhaps a lack of self-confidence, or unfortunate experiences in mainstream school, which for so many kids can be so overwhelming. Maybe they're just disillusioned with life. They haven't had that support at home. It could be a million and one things. And not to mention the fact that we have so much substance abuse at the moment to deal with, county lines and more. We're dealing with a lot of gang issues and really sort of antisocial behaviours that attract young people who have nowhere else to go, or who don't really have a sense of identity or clarity in terms of what they're capable of achieving in their lives. So we've tried to harness that by combining a more holistic approach to learning. And we focus on therapeutic interventions as well as emotional development and regulation to feed into academic outcomes. And I'm, in fact, you know, what I would say is our process works. We take the time with our young people, and we are very young person centered, very young person led. And our results, our GCSE A-level results last year, you know, we received a 95% pass rate, which compared to mainstream is streets ahead. And these are kids who have largely been written off, who have maybe had 6 or 7 failed experiences in mainstream or in other schools, alternative provisions, improved, or wherever they've come from, and we put them back together. And I would say, I always say that my team performs a little bit of magic, and it just works. It works, and it really is about understanding individual need and responding to that.
Absolutely.
In a very unapologetic way. We work one-to-one, and we work in the best interests of our young people and their families too.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a funny thing, isn't it, about the way that we organise not just education but all kinds of things in this country from a top-down, one-size-fits-all point of view, which just bears no relationship to life at all. I'm heavily involved with a KCC-based organisation. I say heavily involved, but like a lot of things, it all came to a grinding halt during the pandemic, but we will be back in the saddle. We stage an annual conference at County Hall on finding helping adults with supported needs find work. A huge, I mean, those supported needs can be all kinds of things, from mental issues, mental health issues, through physical issues. A huge number of the clients that they deal with have autism or on the autistic spectrum. I have a lovely story from a couple of years ago. What we do at the conference is we have employers that have employed people with supported needs, and where possible we have the actual employees themselves. And then the invited audience are just business owners, so that we go, you really ought to be employing these people because they're a fantastic resource. And we have one, and it was just so beautiful and so typical. It was I can't remember the name of the place. It's a country park in West Kent. And the general manager came up and said, we're a country park, you know, we're open to the public. And we employed Chris, who is quite severely autistic on the autism spectrum, to work in our landscaping grounds. And here's Chris to tell you about it. And he got up and he went, I do trees. He said, I don't do nothing else, I just do trees.
And I bet he does them very well,
indeed. And his boss came on and he went, but you want to see the trees he does, they are absolutely brilliant. But he's actually doing topiary, yeah? And he, making like birds and animals from trees and bushes. Wow. Absolutely beautiful. And they had a video of him, and he's going, yeah, I'll do the trees. It was just fantastic. It was brilliant.
Oh, fabulous.
You know, so I guess I don't want to use too emotive language, but we write people off, don't we?
We do. And sometimes they write themselves off too. Or if they've had no role models or trusted adults in their lives, young people have nowhere to look for any kind of aspiration. And that's where you do get problems with gangs or you know, antisocial behaviours, because they're looking for somewhere to be, somewhere to fit in. And when you haven't developed emotionally, when you haven't had the opportunities in life to develop from being to doing to thinking, if you can't move your brain in the right direction through a healthy process of learning and emotional development, then you're going to get stuck at a very reactive, dangerous stage.
Yep.
In my view, you know, it's when you get adults walking around with the emotional development of a toddler.
Yeah,
it's dangerous, and they are in turn raising children and young people to behave the same way. So we try very hard to challenge that, and we work very hard with our families. We see the bigger picture and the siblings, and you know, it's not enough just to, you know, help one young person and send them back to a situation that perhaps isn't great for them or healthy. We want to try and work with the whole family unit if we can.
Yeah, and that's important, isn't it? Because if you've got a number of siblings, but you're focusing on one of them that has issues and ignoring the others, that can create problems too.
Absolutely. Or you take three steps forward, two steps back, because you know, there may not be a consistency in terms of what we're doing at Tuition Extra compared to what's happening at home. And that may not be anybody's fault. It just is the way that we are. I mean, there's no parent, perfect parent guidebook, is there? You know, I wish there was. Yeah. My father always tells me that, reminds me, you know. and I say the same thing to my son. But if we all knew how to do it perfectly well, you know, life would be great. But that's just not reality, is it? And we're here to help. We want to see the positives and to work with those who are willing to engage, and we try our best to you know, win people round or to engage with interests that are important to each individual, I suppose. So it's a very bespoke focus that we have, but the investment now pays dividends later, and I would always argue that with education. It's life-changing, and it's a way to create, you know, not just free people and free-minded aspirational people, but people who don't cost the state hundreds of thousands of pounds because they're in prison or they're on benefits or they're not able to function properly.
Absolutely.
So it's important work.
Yeah, it certainly is. It certainly is. And one of the things that I think, as a complete outsider to this and having no expertise in it at all, but looking into it and having understood my own experiences at not going to school, I did go twice.
You're one of ours.
Yeah, I did. I went twice, but they didn't recognise me the third time, so I never went back. But the point is, the point I was trying to make is, by giving this one-to-one focus, you actually concentrate on the person.
Absolutely.
And for me, that's everything that's wrong with so many things we do is it's, you know, you're all going to get this. And it doesn't take account of people's different learnings. Just people that don't have massive problems have different learning styles, different interests and all kinds of things, you know.
Absolutely.
And we go, you know, no, you're going to do GCSE, this, that and the other. Oh, I don't want to. You
know. And it's not right for everybody. And we have a very linear, very structured pathway through education, and it's not right for every young person. It's not, and there's no race to the end. They're on this sort of a treadmill, and it's very difficult to try and make someone feel good about themselves when they're not succeeding within this very linear pathway.
Yeah.
When actually, you know, success is a far broader concept. And, you know, yes, qualifications are important, I would argue, in their favour, because they demonstrate evidence of a measure of understanding and achievement. And that's important in our society in order to be able to progress and to be successful. But there are many areas that you can focus on, and not everybody is going to be a candidate for university. Not everybody is going to want to take an academic route. Maybe they may not be great at English and maths, but maybe they're brilliant with engines
I totally agree, but and this is my argument about a lot of it, is that there's all kinds of qualifications.
Absolutely.
You know, back in my day, I'm really old, but back in my day, you could get a city and guilds in this, that, and the other, you know, which most of us thickies from school, we all went and did things like, I didn't even manage that.
I wouldn't call you a thickie. I just think you're an alternative learner. You learn differently.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Your needs probably weren't noticed.
Well, just a story from my own experience, okay. When I did go to school, the very last thing I ever did, this won't mean anything to anyone because it was years ago, but we did mock CSEs.
Oh, yes, I do know.
Do you remember this? Yeah.
Before my time.
Yeah, yeah, it would be. It was a certificate of secondary education. And back in my day, they don't exist anymore. It was below O-levels or GCSEs. And basically, in my day, you could leave school at 15. I actually left when I was 14, but never mind. But you were supposed to do this CSE thing to get a qualification. And I got 6% in my maths exam, okay? And I didn't come bottom. I came about halfway. So I got 6%. I hated maths with a vengeance, yeah? Fast forward 8 years, and I was a systems programmer on IBM mainframes, and I could multiply... I can't now, but then I could multiply binary numbers mentally in my head.
Wow.
Because it was relevant to what I was doing.
Yeah. And visual.
And visual. And I go, that's 3 Charlie F times 4, you know, dog 9. It's 2 FF, isn't it? Obvious. But if somebody said to me, I'm going to set you a maths test, I go, oh, no, not me. I can't do that. So it's relevant to what you're doing.
Yeah.
And you see that so often. You know, I've got mates that were rubbish at school that are electricians, for instance, and they've got a 16th edition electrical qualification, which you have to have to be an electrician.
It's all pure maths
and physics.
Absolutely. Yeah, it is. That's difficult.
Yeah.
Very difficult.
You know, so you're absolutely right, Ruth. It's about how people respond to what they're doing. And this was always one of my big beefs at school, is why are you telling me? I don't care who the hypotenuse is. I really don't care.
Who does he play for?
And then
you know, depending on what your interests are. I mean, I've got a young person who's been working with us. When he first started coming to Tuition Extra, this was about a year ago, he wouldn't get out of bed, actually. It was a real challenge, and autistic and really struggling with life, anxiety, borderline agoraphobic, and we basically brought in a motorbike because he quite likes engines and motorbikes and is rather focused on that, and that got him out of bed. It got him in. We had some real struggles with attendance, but his attendance went from sort of 5% to, I think we're on about 98% now. And he comes in early and comes in extra because he wants to do more. He's currently finishing a BTEC level 1 in engineering, and he'll go on to his level 2. He's also doing his English and maths because he sees the relevance. And he's also doing a lot of work with electrical pathways as well, because he sees the relevance of wiring in engines and how that can cross over. And is like a transformed young person who suddenly, you know, the hood's come off, he's showered and you know, fresh-faced and bushy-tailed when he comes into us. And and this is an absolute transformation from the young person that we started working with, who struggled to engage, speak to anybody, or even, you know, get up and change his clothes in the morning. So I'm really delighted, and I think he is one example of many other success stories, but it's so rewarding to see that. And he will have a pathway probably onto college or wherever he's comfortable. We'll support that transition and we'll support him moving forwards with his life. And and I'm so thrilled that he's going to be able to function and to do some great stuff in his future. He'll be self-sustaining and he'll live the life that he's capable of living, which is wonderful. And you know, I think the sky's the limit. He's very bright. He can do it. It's just about finding his place and building that confidence. And igniting that interest and showing him that he can combine his interests with something that will enable him to live and sustain himself.
I want to kind of focus on two other things now, because you're very passionate about what you do, quite rightly, because what you do is absolutely brilliant, which is why you won all these awards. But I kind of want to move the focus a little bit to the business side of it, if you like.
Sure. So
first and foremost, tell me the history of Tuition Extras and the history of Ruth as well. So how did you get into this? What is your background? What made you start this business?
Oh, my goodness me. Where do I start? Well, I've always been a bit of an off-the-wall alternative person, I suppose. And I realise now with diagnostics of my son, actually, through the Ed Psych, he's ADHD with, you know, has struggles with processing, very intelligent, but does have his struggles. And I'm very much the same. So school was not an obvious place of success for me. It was hard. I didn't read till I was about 8 years old. I always used to wonder, you know, if I was what stupid looked like, because I just couldn't seem to do it where everybody else got it. But instead of crushing me, I think it just made me focus on my own success and actually made me more determined. And I realized that it might be harder, but it wasn't an excuse. And I wasn't prepared to accept failure. Or not easily. I learned from it. I didn't see it as a bad thing. I saw it as a journey.
Right.
And I think that was, you know, mainly down to my parents. I think they were very supportive and encouraging, and I was lucky. So growing up, I've travelled. I've always been very interested in music. I'm a musician. I'm a singer.
The studio you were talking about earlier.
We do have our own recording studio at Tuition Extra, of course.
As you would.
And many musicians who love to be there and work with the kids, which is really exciting. I've been lucky enough to work as a professional singer. I've travelled with that. I set up a music management bookings and PR company years ago, and was based in London, and that was great, very interesting, very, very challenging. Did some more travelling after that. Worked at the Mirror for a while, and did some work with them, and looked at sort of journalese and that. Angle on things and PR, which was of interest to me, and then moved back into music and then back into business again. I kind of delved into lots of things, and I worked with a very interesting lady at one point who really shaped my business acumen, I think, and a lady who had a company called Aurora, which is still, I believe, running now, a lady called Glenda Stone, and she was quite a taskmaster, but an interesting lady to work for, very tough boss, but I learned an awful lot from her, and I would say it was a bitter pill for me in business. She challenged me probably on every single level, and you know, I have always had a lot of respect for her business acumen, and I learned a lot. It was tough, but I did learn an awful lot, and that has really set me up so that when I had my son and moved out of London, got into teaching quite unexpectedly, went back into it really. I'd done it when I just left university, and I taught for about a year. I went back into this process, and I loved it, and I just just thought, what a great job, what a nice place to work. Everyone's friendly. I don't have to work 18 hours a day.
Were you working in a normal school?
Yeah, I was working at Borden Grammar School. So, I was in the Sittingbourne area, so I'd sort of moved back from London. I'd lived all over, went back to my roots, I suppose. And my mother, Marion Minhall's working at Borden, and I said to Mum, just, you know, tell them if they need cover, I'm available. My son was coming up for about 10 months and was able to go to nursery and to be looked after. And I did a paternity cover and then a maternity cover. And I said, listen, I'll do whatever you need me to do. I'll teach A-level, I'll teach GCSE, I'll teach whatever, English, which is my key subject. But get me on the graduate teacher program. Let me get my teaching qualification with you, which they did. And Harold Vaffius, who was the head at the time, was absolutely marvellous and such a wonderful man, and who had been my head of sixth form when I'd done my A-levels at Heister Grammar School years before. So it was such a strange situation to be in. And I was surrounded by wonderful people. It was great. I loved the boys. I had the best time. And it taught me to really focus on teaching as something that was beyond what I had ever imagined it could be. My opening line for students that I worked with was always, you know, what is English? Tell me, what is this subject? What is this subject about? And they would say, you know, words, you know, full stops, apostrophes, you know, what are sentences.
No, we ignore apostrophes.
Don't say that. Oh, my God, I'm a grammar Nazi. But you would always push them towards the idea of thinking. It's critical thinking. English is about thinking. It's about uncovering the truth. It's about understanding what is beneath the surface. And I think that is a skill that we have lost terribly in recent years. And that's something that I am very passionate about challenging. And we teach core skills. We don't teach to spoon feed, and we don't just teach to pass exams. We teach life skills. In my view, it's the, you know, critical thinking is essential. So Borden Grammar School taught me my trade in teaching, and I unfortunately realised that after 8 years working there, as much as I loved it, I couldn't really afford to sustain my son and school fees and obligations that I had to pay, and I needed to work differently, and I was ready for a challenge. I couldn't see myself doing the same job year on year. I wanted something different, and I missed business, and I set up Tuition Extra, and I set it up in the Canterbury Academy originally with a very lovely lady called Celia Buxton, who is now my chair of governors at Haven Nook, which is also part of Haven Nook School, which is part of Tuition Extra Group. And she and I locked horns on a first meeting because we didn't quite agree on everything, but we soon came to realise that we were very much on the same page. And the academy agreed to give me space to work in to set up my tuition service. And the idea was I would start 2 or 3 days a week. I'd carry on with Borden part time. That very quickly changed. By Christmas, I was really having to give up my job, and I needed to step away from that. And they supported those initial steps. And I can remember September, October 2013, sitting there on my own in an office thinking, right, okay, what am I going to do? And I got some business rolling in. I started working with some local schools. I worked with the school in question, the Canterbury Academy, working with their tricky kids. And I realised very, very fast that it was about, obviously, the schools that couldn't cope with behaviour, you know, needed a solution, and I was that solution. Right. And I still have great contact with a lot of those original students from sort of 9 years ago, who are now doing exceptionally well. I'm so pleased. My team grew quite quickly. I would say in the first year I went from me to about 20 tutors, and then after just over a year the Canterbury Academy did pull a bit of a fast one, and things didn't quite work out. It was a shame, but you know, it was what it was. But it gave me an opportunity to step away, and I had the opportunity then to work with Kent Health Needs Education Service, which was a dream opportunity. We were then able to go from 20 tutors to about 50.
Wow.
We worked very, very quickly and got up to speed very, very quickly as we needed to, and were based in Leybourne but working across Kent. And that really set the pace then to grow the organisation to work with the local authorities, so Kent County Council, SEN Kent, Medway and other local authorities with many looked after children, young people who couldn't access mainstream school because of complex needs. Maybe they had an education healthcare plan or that stated that there were certain needs to be met that mainstream schools couldn't meet, but we could as an interim tuition service. And we were able to really spread our wings and do projects with, you know, Folkestone Academy and various other schools to try and increase exam grades or to look at targeted tuition or to try and support students who couldn't access mainstream schooling because of various reasons. So it's really brought us to where we are today. We've gone from renting office space in a sort of complex to having our own premises. Now we have two premises. We have Haven Nook School. We've got the Roper Yard site for Tuition Extra, which has got a recording studio, hair and beauty salon, construction room and mechanics suite and kitchen.
Wow. Okay.
all sorts. So anything that you like, you know, you can access it. And we also do a lot of work with animal therapy to try and build positive learning opportunities for young people who perhaps are not ready to have a conversation with people. So we do a lot of work with horses, with dogs, with all sorts of animals. And alongside that, our really key innovation key point is our Thrive approach, which I'm so proud, you know, that we are a centre of excellence for, that works on that emotional development and regulation with our young people, which I feel has been absolutely central in our ability to be successful with some of the most challenging young people with the most complex needs. And we've been able to not just see the behaviour but understand that behaviour as communication and to really look at what each young person needs to be able to progress. And often, you know, Thrive works with clever play, sensory work and clever linguistics to progress those young people and enable them to re-engage and to be successful. And it's been an amazing journey. And my Amanda Thompson, my Thrive lead, has just passed a big exam yesterday. So congratulations to her. She's going to be training lots more of my staff now. And we just go from strength to strength, Paul. It's been an amazing journey.
Brilliant. Yeah, I love you, but I'm just sitting here, aren't we, Ollie? We're just sitting again. Tell us more. It's brilliant.
Overwhelming, you all.
No. It's absolutely fabulous. Your passion for it, your enthusiasm for it, but more than that, it's the difference that you make to those people. That's the really inspiring thing for us, I think, is hearing that there's someone out there like you and your team that are making that happen for people that deserve it.
Absolutely. Or who don't see any future for themselves. Maybe they just haven't considered anything.
Yeah.
Maybe there just hasn't been that opportunity. But I have a team of people who are absolutely passionate about making a difference and about doing right by each and every young person that they're working with. And that's just, it's just wonderful.
It's one of those funny things. Back in 2014, I developed a program. It was based on an argument at a conference, which almost ended in blows. Not me. I was the chair of the conference, but the audience almost came to blows. There were a group of head teachers in the audience and a group of business owners, and we got the trouble with the kids of today is that their education is rubbish, and then all their teachers went, you can't say that, and blah, 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 blah. So my point was at the time, we need to do something about this. We need to get both sides of this equation talking. So I developed a program called 30-30, which has been running ever since. We've had 2,000 pupils through it.
Wow.
Before we came to a grinding halt with a pandemic. And I'm back in the saddle doing some later this year. Basically, what I do is I take 30 business owners, up to 30, it's not always 30, but 30 business owners in to meet 30 A-level students, although sometimes it's 70, but whatever. No. And we spend a morning in a school talking to A-level students about the world of work. Yeah. And I'm not knocking career teachers, but, you know, it's one of the most frustrating things is that we expect young people to know stuff that they have no way of knowing. Yeah, you know, like, what do you want to do for a living? How would you know? How would you have the remotest clue? You know, you're 17 years of age. You haven't really experienced much other than school. How would you know? You don't even know what's available to do. And in the world we live in, there's some trite thing that goes around that says people leaving school now will end up doing a job that hasn't been invented yet.
Yeah.
Which is partially true because of the pace of change. So how we expect people to pick a career, I've no idea.
Even so, late 20s, really.
Sorry?
Even late 20s, early 30s, you still don't know, do you?
No, exactly. And we've got this funny view of careers anyway, where you think you pick it and that's it, you do it, yeah? Whereas somebody once asked me to explain my CV to a group of people, which was hilarious, because they're all going, sorry, how did that link to that? Oh, I don't know, I just changed. But the point is, it's a journey. And for me, that is the most important thing to recognise is it's a journey, but it's a journey of discovery as much as anything else. You haven't necessarily got a map and gone, I'm going there. What you've got is, well, I'm going to go somewhere, I'm going to wander off and see where I go and see where I end up. Anyway, 3030 is talking to young people about that. And it's been interesting. We were saying earlier about qualifications. When I first started doing this back in 2015, the first question I always ask the audience is, what are your aspirations? Who's going to university? Who's going to do an apprenticeship? Who doesn't care? Whatever. And about 70% of an A-level group in a school in Kent would go, we're going to university. Yeah, when I first started. The last few I did, it's less than 40% of the audience are going to university. So many people have gone, do you know what, it's not worth the money.
I think it's too many people go to university and get degrees they don't use as well.
Yeah, and of course there are options. You can get a degree in an apprenticeship. If you do a level 6 or 7 apprenticeship, you get a degree anyway, and you get paid to do it. You don't end up with a debt. There's a lot of reasons to go to university, some of them even involving education. And of course, there are a lot of vocations that require a degree, medicine, architecture, all kinds of things that require a degree. But there's also a lot of very skillful jobs out there that don't, that require an apprenticeship or a trade qualification or whatever. And it's interesting that, what are we on now? Generation Alpha. Generation Z, Generation Alpha are starting to question this at long last. Do I have to go to university? Is that the only thing I'm supposed to be doing here?
That could be down to social media.
Yeah.
Showing people there are other opportunities.
Exactly, yeah. That is one of the big things, that there's now a lot more information out there that says you don't have to do it this way.
Absolutely.
But Ruth, thank you so much for telling us all about Tuition Extra. We're absolutely blown away by what you're doing.
Thank you.
It's fantastic. You deserve every single award and more that you've won.
Thanks, Paul. It's been really an exciting year, and we've been nominated for a National Diversity Award as well, so right. Fingers crossed. But the Kent Business Awards was just a delight. I'm so thrilled. We all are.
Fantastic.
Listen,
if people want to find out more about Tuition Extra, what's the best way to do that?
Okay, so they can find out more by looking on our website, which is www.tuition-extra.co.uk. And check out what we do. Have a look and see what we're up to.
Fantastic. Ruth Minhall, thank you so much. It's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you.
Thanks, Paul.
Do stay with us for the rest of the show. I've had a tweet from Gemma Faircuff-Haynes, who is the owner of Orchard Employment Law. And she says, hi, Vanilla Webb. Please can we have a shout out for our work experience student, Uana. She's told me how to pronounce the name here as well, because she knows me. Uana, who has been here for a day and a half and who's already bagged herself an interview for a summer job with one of the other businesses at Dragon. They're all based at Dragon Co-working in Medway, in Chatham. So, Uana, well done. Nice one.
Fantastic.
That's fantastic. Keep going. And thank you for bringing that to our attention, Gemma. Martin Reeves has said, I'd love a Business Bunker shout out, please. Martin runs a thing called Charity Buddy, and he buys collectibles from eBay and Etsy and places like that, sells them on, and donates all the money to charity. So give him a follow on the Twitter. Collectors Buddy is his Twitter handle, and do give him some support, please, because he needs it. He needs money as well, so send him some money. That would help. I'm just trying to catch up with my tweets. Gemma says, thank you, Paul. That's a pleasure, as always, Gemma. I'll catch up with those in a minute, because we're going to join the Channel Radio newsroom shortly. When we come back from the news, we're going to be talking to our second guest, Ollie Andrews, and chatting some more about what's going on in the world of work and so on and so forth. Sorry, I'm kind of waffling, because there was... look, Jules is on. The trouble with Jules is, Jules is the co-host of this show, and the trouble with Jules is she's got a back catalogue of 14 years worth of photographs of me in compromising positions and states of different dress, and she does have a tendency to post them when she's not here.
That's great. I love it. In fact, Jules is looking at me from across the studio in the picture on the wall.
No, that's Bird.
Oh, it's Bird.
Yeah, that's right. Bird. So Bird used to be the co-host of this show, but she now lives in Rwanda, and she wasn't deported.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. She lives in, what's it, Kigali or whatever it is, the capital.
Yeah. Supposed to be a beautiful place.
Yeah, she loves it. She says it's a fantastic place. She's been in Rwanda a couple of years now. Yeah. Cool. Right, listen. We're going to join the Channel Radio newsroom. When we come back, we're going to talk to Ollie, as I said. So we'll be back soon. Thank you for listening.
The Business Bunker with Paul.